Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think some of you over the past year may have figured this out, some of you maybe not. Regardless of what you have seen on my desk, I am a neat freak. Proud of it. I will not deny this to anyone, nor would I have any shot at actually pulling that off. Might even have mild OCD, I'm not sure, to tell the truth. When Sarah and I got married, almost 9 years ago, I adjusted to our different ideas of what cleanliness meant. We have very different ideas. Again, she's not here to defend herself, so I won't give you examples, but we've had our moments. We seem to each have our own way of thinking about how clutter should function, and whatever I think is clutter, she thinks is something important. Whatever I think is important is clutter. You can guess who wins. It's not me. When Tavin was born, my oldest son, 4.5 years ago, I had to adjust. As I did with Sarah, I had to adjust. With Tavin, I had to adjust to spit up and diapers and toys around the house and books and Play-Doh. I came to terms with crumbs, the carpet, kind of. Crumbs on the couch, still not a fan. Stains in general. And then, a few years ago, we got Scout, our dog. Very sweet black lab. Very sweet, very sweet. Sometimes I have her here during the week. Not often, but, you know. But if you're ever around, say hi, and she is a sweetheart. And I had to adjust to the changes that came with that, because all of a sudden the food the tavern would drop was no longer a problem. The dog would clean it up. But then I had a new problem. Dog sheds. So when I would vacuum and I would open up the vacuum, it was like I had a miniature Scout inside every time. And I vacuum a lot because, again, I am a bit of a neat freak. When she comes in from outside, I know we live in the Great Northwest, so it is wet. Do you think I just let her run into the house? Heck no. I have a large towel waiting for her when she comes in so I can lovingly clean off the feet. Because I don't like messes. And when Archer was born, my youngest son, you can imagine, great, here we go again. Babies, diapers, more stains, plus 4-year-old, plus dog, plus wife. It's chaos. It's utter and complete chaos. And I've almost adjusted at times for moments. Kind of. Not really. But I'm still particular about certain things. I like hand sanitizer. I don't know if you just did that on purpose, Bruce, but I do like my hair gel, actually. That's something I nice and neat in order. Do not like to share meals. And in 35 years on this planet, I have never once had my face painted. Not once. It's not a challenge, Kat. It ain't happening. The closest I have ever come is Ash Wednesday. And I got to tell you, even that makes me cringe just a little bit. Because it's on my face. We're going to do the imposition of ashes tonight. This annual event. The hallmark of Ash Wednesday. It's what we all think of when we hear the word. Because it's in the name. I will make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Similar to the at your baptism. Side note, if you ever watch TV or film and you see the priest or the pastor do the cross on someone's forehead with their index finger instead of their thumb, someone trained them poorly. Because if you know what you're doing, you always use the thumb because you have more support. Little trick of the trade for you. That makes sense? Don't do it like this on the forehead. Never mind. And when I do that, you're going to hear me say the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And what scripture comes to mind when you hear that? It's a quote. It's Adam and Eve being tossed out of the Garden of Eden. Things have fallen apart. Sin has entered the world. Brokenness, broken relationships, selfishness. Dare I say, human nature. And in that story, as they are told to leave, God says, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But something else from Genesis might cross your mind when you hear those words and the idea of dust, and that is creation itself. At least the creation story in Genesis 2, where human beings are fashioned out of the ground, out of the earth. God is described as bending down into the muck and the mud and fashioning Adam. And so in this idea tonight, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return, we have then this circle of life thing going on. This idea of this return to the creation from which we have come. Because let's face it, all of creation is made of the same stuff. These pews that you're sitting in, like solid wood, cloth, I'm guessing, covers. If we were to take this out and we were to put it somewhere in the forest, a swamp, over the years, what would it do? It would disintegrate. It would degrade. It would fall back into the earth from which it came. From dust to dust. This metal music stand in front of me seems so solid. And yet in the right environment, it would become nothing. Even this cell phone of mine, which I'm using to record again, even the plastic in that, given time, in theory, I hope, for the good of the world, would return. Because that's where it came from, even that plastic. I mean, what is plastic? It comes from petroleum, usually. And what is that? It comes from the ground. And where did it come from? It came from fossilized creatures and plants and stuff, over time compressing. We're all made of the same stuff. The carbon in my body, the carbon in these pews, it's all connected. And we get that in that creation story. We remember that, in a sense, from dust to dust. And it's a great image. And it's so not what we read tonight. Did you notice that? The hallmark of Ash Wednesday is that line. Remember that you came from, what is it? Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And we didn't read that. What did we read? We opened with Psalm 51. We opened with a psalm of lament, a cry for forgiveness from people to their Creator. We heard from Isaiah. Thank you, Jay, for voicing Isaiah tonight. And while Isaiah made references close, he didn't quite touch on that idea of dust to dust. So what happens if we take these words, these famous words from Ash Wednesday, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, and we look at them through the light of tonight's readings? From the Gospel, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves will not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Through that lens, you start to realize that Ash Wednesday is not just a reminder of where we came from, the dust of the earth. And it's not just a reminder of where we're going, the dust of the earth. It is also a prophecy of new life, a prophecy of resurrection with Christ, a reminder to us that all that we have comes from God, and that it all returns to God, as do we. It is a reminder to us that what truly matters in life is God and God's love, and how that is shared and spread through all of creation. What do you think of when you hear the word Lent? I think a lot of people, we think of being somber and kind of melancholy. I know some folks think Lent is depressing. The music, minor key, right? You got to give something up for Lent. Lent is about hope. Let you in on a little secret. Lent is about hope. What does the word mean, Lent? It's either German or it's Dutch, depending on who you ask. And either way, it translates to the word long, because the days are getting longer. The light is coming back into our lives. The darkness of winter is coming to an end. Each day that we experience, there is more and more sunshine. There is more and more hope. Lent is about the light of Christ returning into this world, the light breaking into the darkness. A lot of you will give something up for Lent. It's tradition. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyone ever use the, what'd you give up for Lent? I gave up Lent. No one? I've heard that joke. It's about as funny as I pulled it off right there. Actually, we'll talk about that on Sunday, giving things up. Tonight, though, as those ashes are marked on your forehead, let's add something for Lent. A new appreciation. A new appreciation for our Creator. A new appreciation for our Redeemer. And a willingness to spend these next 40 days of Lent deliberately marked by that same Creator and Redeemer's presence in our lives. Amen.